Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are live right here to start off a new week on Football Full Circle. It is FFC, all a part of the Sports Grid Radio Network and Sirius XM Channel 159. He is the mastermind of the pigskin. That is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. So much to get to here in our hour together all across the Spiz Grizz Radio Network. Not only must we recap the Sunday slate in week number 14 around the National Football League, Joe. 11 games to break down from a Sunday slate and give our reactions to. But later on in the second half hour of these next 58 minutes or so, we will also react to the first ever 12-team field and bracket in the history of the college football playoffs. So much in this hour. Should be a fun time.
Yeah, really exciting weekend of college and NFL action. I mean, the NFL slate yesterday, I mean, it saw dynamic performances, right? We saw it in the 1 o'clock and 4 o'clock windows, that game last night where the Chiefs win on a last-second field goal to clinch the AFC West was a great game, right? Especially in the second half, it really came down to the wire. So hopefully now over the next 4 or 5 weeks in the NFL and, more importantly, college football, we'll see some fantastic finishes and instant classics. And as a college and NFL fan, what more can you ask for? Football is back, baby.
Absolutely so. Football is back. Football is here. It is all good stuff. We'll get to the CFP, the bracket, the field of 12, the teams that are in the path to winning a national championship, the seed lines, all of that in just a little bit. But Lisi guy, let's begin looking back on the Sunday slate around the NFL. And last night, as we have seen throughout various weeks throughout this year, the Chiefs, the two-time reigning Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs, just find new ways of winning football games. Often, Joe, it feels like they're creating or inventing the most stressful possible scenario only to win yet another single-score game. For the 10th time in their 12 overall victories this year, Kansas City wins a game decided by a single score or less. They knock off the Chargers for their 9th consecutive AFC West divisional crown. 19-17 on a last-second field goal as time expired at Arrowhead from Matthew Wright. From 31 yards out, Joe, off the left upright, doink, but in over the crossbar. The field goal, no pictures on the scorecard. It was good. Kansas City wins by 2, 19-17. The Bolts, though, do cover as a 4.5-point road dog.
Yeah, and first half was dominated by the rushing attack of Kansas City and the defense. They got after Justin Herbert. They actually injured him late in the second quarter. He bounced back in a big way. We saw the rushing attack of L.A. take over in the second half. Vitale and also Gus Edwards, they put them up 14-13. But in the end, you know, what happens? Pat Mahomes, Travis Kelce, and the Kansas City Chiefs just find ways to do it. Their defense buckled up, held L.A. to critical yards to give their team an opportunity with the football back. And that's all they do. When you have the best player on the field, and that's not to take away from Herbert and all the playmakers for L.A., but Pat Mahomes clearly is the best player on the field. He just distributes the football to everybody, and that's why there's such a difficult out. If it's a one-score game and Pat Mahomes has the ball, more likely than not, they're going to pull it out. It's very rare that Pat Mahomes, with a last-second drive, doesn't win it, and that's what they're all about. You know, in a playoff environment, you could say what you want about every other team. When the playoffs hit, Kansas City kicks it up a notch, and they're great at winning these one-battle, one-score type of games.
their 15th consecutive victory in a game decided by just a single score. That is the longest streak in the history of the National Football League. And Joe, for LA or San Diego back in the day, whether it was Philip Rivers as the quarterback or Anthony Lynn as the head coach or Brandon Staley, now Jim Harbaugh and Justin Herbert, if the game is decided by a field goal, it does not often work for LA. 11 consecutive losses in games decided by 3 points or less. The reason I was chuckling, by the way, Kamani Vidal, the rookie running back out of Troy, you made him a little bit Italian in what he did.
It's everybody Vitelli, Italian. Vidal, you know, he's number 30. That's all that matters. We got it.
Indeed. And the rushing attack and the offense overall, Joe, for the Chargers in the second was so much better. Two touchdowns in the third quarter to take a lead. These two teams exchanged three field goals in the final 18 and a half minutes of the game. Total of 43 and a half does stay under last night. And Joe, there are some that when you look at the Chiefs, 12-1 this year, but they have not been overwhelmingly impressive. They have not covered now in seven consecutive games. And of course, the single scores, you often feel, Joe, that if you are continuously playing in tight games and you have luck in favor on your side, eventually that is going to run out. But this is a Chiefs team that last year looked like a shell of itself offensively and still won a second consecutive Lombardi Trophy. If they continue to play single score games against the best of the best into the postseason, yeah, I think things are going to run out. But for me, Joe, it's almost, hey, they've played the single score games, found a way to a win one way or another. And Joe, they're just bolstering up the resume enough to earn the number one overall seed in the AFC, to have home field advantage throughout a potential playoff run. And in the postseason, as you alluded to, that's where the Chiefs have the benefit of the doubt, that pedigree, and play their best football.
Yeah, and as long as their defense is on point, and the biggest thing, you know, when you look at Kansas City, they get Isaiah Pacheco back last week. He comes in, he rushes 7 carries, 44 yards. Last night, he was running very hard, went through a 40-yard total. He had 49 yards on the ground, but you have Kareem Hunt there, dynamic, you know, blue-collar physical runners. And the defense, the only game that I could think of, and maybe I'm wrong, that they have looked a little shaky was against Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. More times than not, when we see these one-score games, and maybe Tampa Bay as well, where Baker put up some yards. But more times than not, these one-score games are very lower scoring, right? They're you know, just methodical, blue-collar type of games where the defense is still in control, and Pat Mahomes gets the ball with about 4 minutes left and just leads them down. And it's not always Travis Kelce. It is Xavier Worthy that stepped up. We see DeAndre Hopkins, now a great addition. You still have the veteran Juju. It doesn't matter who you implement and put into that lineup. Again, when number 15 is behind center, he finds the open guy. And that's really what it comes down to. We have, even though LA got after Pat Mahomes last night in the first half, second half, all of a sudden they make adjustments and they find ways to win. And that's all you could ask for Andy Reid and the Chiefs right now.
Again, Joe, it wasn't the most overwhelmingly offensive or productive night for Mahomes or Kelce or Pacheco or Hunt or anybody with Kansas City. But first play out of the 2 minute warning, as the Chargers are just trying to hold the Chiefs to a field goal to get the ball back and maybe have a chance to win. What does Patrick Mahomes do on 3rd and 7? He scrambles out, he makes a play, he finds old reliable in Travis Kelce for a first down that meant LA would never see the football once again in its possession. The Chiefs have won the AFC West for a 9th consecutive season. They were minus 270 to do so before the year got underway. And even that, Joe, with the run they are on, feels like a discount. The most consecutive divisional crowns in the NFL, second most in history, but the most since the Patriots won 11 straight in the AFC East from 09 to 2019. Elsewhere, Joe, around the NFL, what a day it was. With a game late in the afternoon window between the Bills and the Rams, that also made NFL history. The highest scoring game of this season. 86 combined points between the Rams and the Bills. It just so happened that Los Angeles had 44 and Buffalo only 42. The Rams win outright as a 3.5-point underdog in an offensive showing
inside SoFi Stadium, our reactions to that game, what it means, and elsewhere around the NFL Week 14 Sunday slate. That comes your way here to start off a new week on Football Full Circle. Next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC, all a part of the Sports Grid Radio Network. He is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. Lisi, right before the break, highest scoring game of the year this season in the National Football League, an offensive game that we have not seen in over 60 years, or basically 60 years in the history of the NFL, and just for the second time ever. 86 total points between the Rams and the Bills on Sunday in downtown LA. The Rams scored 44, the Bills scored 42. Los Angeles wins outright as a 3.5-point underdog. Huge win for the Rams. They are 7-6, a game back of Seattle atop the NFC West. Buffalo already won their fifth consecutive AFC East divisional crown, but their 8-game win streak comes to a close on Sunday in SoFi. If you're just listening to the radio and not watching the live stream on YouTube, you don't know why I am laughing, but it's always a good time. Lisa, guy, big game yesterday in LA. The Rams get the better of the Bills, where it seemed that no defense could make a stop, and both offenses were flying on all cylinders.
Yeah, I mean, for me, Ben, I mean, it was all about the offensive line for the L.A. Rams. I mean, that was it for the Rams. They protected Matt Stafford. They got the rushing attack going with Kyren Williams, and that's when the Rams are effective. They're ineffective in the two games that we saw at home against the Eagles and Dolphins prior to the Bill game, where he got pressured early and often and couldn't make the throws to Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp. But when Matt Stafford has a clean pocket, the Rams are as lethal as any offense that we've seen out there. Now, we did see the defense give up a ton of yards in the second half to Josh Allen with his legs, big plays over the top. They need to clean that up, but they're in a division right now, when you look at it, very winnable. With Arizona losing to Seattle, they're still within striking distance of catching Seattle. I still think they have the more complete offense out of all of those teams in the division. That includes the 49ers as well. And again, McVay has made enough adjustments to potentially, you know, carry this team to a 10 or an 11 win season. So we'll see how it plays out. Everybody's bashing, you know, Buffalo right now. They've been on a heater. Prior to that game, they had won, what, 7 straight games heading into that matchup by 15 points per game. The one mess up yesterday was Sean McDermott calling the timeout when the game in the final 2 minutes, you don't take that timeout. Yeah, you cannot. You have to throw the ball in that situation. Yeah. That's where Bill fans are furious right now.
And that was the issue, Joe. All 3 timeouts, Buffalo down by 9, 44-35 in the final 2 minutes. They get it down to the 1-yard line, courtesy of so many pass interference calls, I lost count. And instead of throwing the football there to conserve those timeouts on the other side, either to attempt an onside kick and then get a stop to get the football back. And frankly, Joe, if the Bills got the football back at the end of the game, I'm not sure the Rams defense was going to stop them. Or you could kick it deep and still try to rely on your defense to get a stop. They tried a QB sneak. Josh Allen got stuffed. They had to burn a timeout that proved to be costly before Josh Allen had his 3rd rushing touchdown of the game. And Joe, for Allen, the NFL MVP odds-on favorite, now at minus 450, he has made history 2 consecutive weeks. Last Sunday night in snowy Western New York, he became the first player, or first quarterback rather, ever in NFL history to have a passing touchdown, a rushing touchdown, and a receiving touchdown in the same game. Josh Allen yesterday, 342 yards, 3 touchdowns, 82 rushing yards, 3 rushing scores. First player in NFL history with 3 passing and 3 rushing touchdowns in a single game, albeit in a losing effort. Why? Because that offense of the Rams, when they play as they did yesterday, and everybody is healthy, You see the vision. Matthew Stafford, 320 yards, two touchdowns. Puka Nacua, 12 grabs, 162, a touchdown through the air, one on the ground as well. Cooper Kupp, 92 receiving yards, and a touchdown. Kyren Williams, 87 rushing yards, two rushing scores. Joe, if you are a believer in the Rams and that they have a little bit of life in the NFC West, that's the offense you want to see on display with a little better defensive performances perhaps in the future.
Yeah, they have young players. I mean, they lose Aaron Donald and they have Fisk and they have Jared Verse that have stepped up and have at least, you know, softened the productivity from Aaron Donald's loss. Secondary, they're still a little, you know, young and inexperienced, but they've developed players. I think that's the biggest thing is that, you know, people looked at this team as potentially aging a couple of years ago. You know, when Matt Stafford came off the Super Bowl, just look at how they were priced. 5.5 wins last year. They overexceed expectations with a 10-7 record, and they're on pace for that as well. When they're hot, and that's the biggest thing, can they catch fire? Can this be like the team of Tom Brady, you know, when he won a Super Bowl with Tampa Bay? Let's not forget, you know, they were a 500 team and caught fire at the end of the year, and he won a Super Bowl. Same thing, I believe, with the LA Rams. I still believe in them. And again, I'll take a shot. I know they lost to the Eagles in their building. They got abused by Miami. But again, from here on out, if they play the way they did yesterday, they're going to be a very difficult outcome in the playoffs if they get there.
No doubt about it, Joe. 7-6 now for the Rams. Again, the Bills have already clinched the AFC East. They will be in a fine position. But with their loss yesterday and the Chiefs still finding a way to win, two-game gap now between those two teams for that number one overall seed. Buffalo does have the direct head-to-head tiebreaker advantage. But, Joe, in the NFC West, that's still the Rams' best path. Not necessarily a wild card spot, but the division itself. And they're still looking up at the Seahawks by a full game. Seattle, incredibly impressive yesterday on the road in the desert against the Arizona Cardinals, winning outright as a 3-point dog, 30-18, over a total of 45 and a hook. Seattle now, Joe, 8-5. They've won four straight, including all four as an underdog, including twice in the last 3 weeks against the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, I was really impressed. I watched that whole game. The biggest thing is, even though Geno and JSN put up numbers, offense and defense aligns are incredible right now. Yeah. Very impressed with the Seahawks.
Two first quarter interceptions of Kyler Murray directly resulted in two touchdowns for Seattle early. And Zach Charbonnet filling in for the banged up Kenneth Walker III, 22 carries, 134 yards, two touchdowns. Elsewhere around the NFC, next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on FFC, we continue to go around the NFC West and the conference as a whole. Here recapping the NFL Week 14 Sunday slate. Lisi guy, elsewhere in the NFC West, Seattle gets a huge win. Make it four straight for the Seahawks. Three straight losses for the Arizona Cardinals, who seem to be in pole position in the division. Seattle now has taken that full game lead. And are the Niners back on track, perhaps? Big win yesterday at home to snap a three-game slide, 38-13 against the Chicago Bears. San Francisco covers as a 3.5-point home favorite. Total of 43.5 does go over. No interim head coach bump for the Bears nor Thomas Brown since 2020, Joe. Interim head coaches in their debut, now 10-4 against the spread, just 7-7. Straight up, the 49ers snap a three-game skid, a win they desperately had to have yesterday in Santa Clara.
Yeah, they did, and I expected that type of outcome more so for what you were getting out of the Bears. And we talk about Thomas Brown, you know, elevating Caleb Williams in terms of the play-calling duties before Matt Eberflus got fired. But when you take over the full responsibility, could put a lot of pressure in terms of that. And inconsistency. Not only that, but entering that game, Chicago was 0-5 in terms of true road starts. The only game they won on the road was overseas against Jacksonville, so they didn't step up in terms of that situation. And you had a team in San Francisco that previous to yesterday had been outscored by Green Bay and Buffalo by a score of 73-20. So if it wasn't going to be yesterday laying 3.5, it never going to happen for San Francisco. They did step up. Brock Purdy, 300 yards through the air. We saw Juwan Jennings, my guy. All this guy does is perform. He might be the number one. I'm serious. Yeah, in regards to that matchup, maybe next year with IU coming off the injury. And they only rush, even though they rush for over 100 yards, right? 3.9 yards per carry. They need a much better effort moving forward. We'll see how it plays out. I'm still selling San Fran, big picture, but we'll see how it plays. Because right now, they're still in the mix to win the division, and that could be a black and blue division right down to week number 18.
They still are in that last place spot in the standings, and they still do have the longest price at 18-1. You would think a win would bolster them in a big way. The thing that's more damning to San Francisco than even the 6-7 record overall is the 1-3 mark in the NFC West. And injuries have been a huge story for San Fran this season. Isaac Garendo, the third string running back after McCaffrey and Mason were placed on the IR entering the weekend, he left the game in the second half and headed to the locker room. We'll see what his status is moving forward. The Niners, though, are getting healthier on defense. Huge Thursday night game. Short week in Santa Clara. The Niners host the Rams. LA, a tough turnaround to go on the road for a crucial divisional matchup. Seattle, minus 135 to win the NFC West at this moment. Rams, second best price, plus 160. Joe, a change at the top in the NFC South as well, because the Buccaneers have won three straight and the Falcons have dropped four in a row. Let's start with Atlanta. Kirk Cousins' revenge game that was spoiled in Minneapolis by the new Vikings quarterback, Sam Darnold, and frankly, by Kirk himself. Darnold wins the quarterback matchup, 347 yards, five touchdowns, and for a fourth consecutive game, every game in this four-game skid, Kirk throws at least one interception without even a single touchdown toss. Multiple INTs once again yesterday after four INTs the week prior for Kirk Cousins against LA. Joey threw for 344 yards, but it wasn't good football. The Vikings win big at home, 42-21, covering, as you said, as a 6.5-point favorite.
Yeah, that was my favorite play of the day. And, you know, it was a close game. Early on in the first half, Atlanta had the lead, and they battled right early into the third quarter. It was a one-score game, and then they get the kickoff return fumble. That really allowed them to build a 14-point lead, and then, you know, Kirk Cousins and Atlanta imploded from that point on. I will say this. Yeah. Sam Darnold's pocket presence is really what elevated that game yesterday. You talk about big plays over the top to Jordan Addison and to Justin Jefferson. The chunk plays that Minnesota got in terms of the passing attack were really what propelled them. I mean, Sam Darnold made plays with his legs, kept his eyes down the field, and that front seven got after it in the second half. Kirk Cousins in Atlanta, I'm saying it now, dead and buried for the season.
Absolutely so. They have fallen to a game below 500 and no longer in the top spot in the division. That's the Buccaneers. We'll tell you why they lead the NFC South next on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Entering week 14, there were two teams record-wise tied atop the NFC South, the Falcons and the Buccaneers, both at 6-6. But the Dirty Birds, Joe, booked as the favorites to win the division because they swept Tampa throughout the regular season, winning both of the regular season matchups. Well, at the end of the week 14 Sunday slate, the Falcons no longer in the top spot. No longer the favorites to win the division. That's the Buccaneers. Atlanta has lost four in a row. Tampa has won three straight. The Bucs handling business at home yesterday against the Las Vegas Raiders. 28-13, the victory for the Bucs. They cover as a 6.5-point home favorite. Total of 47.5 does stay under despite the 28 points scored by Tampa.
Yeah, again, you know, Tampa stepped up, and ever since Mike Evans came back and we saw the playmakers step up yesterday, Bucky Irvin has been a great addition to the rushing attack. Rashad White, Baker's a gunslinger. Yeah. We know that, right? If they can put up 30 points against that, 24 points against that defense in Kansas City, they could do it against anybody, right? So this was a team in Las Vegas that basically was dead and buried. They had lost eight straight heading into that matchup. Antonio Pierce right now, you know, could be on the outside looking in of a job. And right now, that was a game that they had to win, especially knowing that Atlanta was going up against one of the best teams in terms of the NFC. That was a game that you had to be primed and ready. It was close early on, but they pulled away in the fourth quarter. They win it by margin, even though the game trended to the under. I'm sure Todd Bowles and Baker Mayfield will take that, now sitting atop the division in the South.
Yeah, they've won three games in a row, have the Buccaneers. They have covered in four of their last five. They are now a minus 230 odds-on favorite to win the division. Atlanta has the tiebreakers. There's no doubt about that. But it doesn't matter, Joe, if the Bucs just have more wins than the Falcons, and that certainly seems to be where we are trending. Could Michael Penix Jr. be on his way to start for Atlanta? Right now, with how poor Kirk Cousins is playing in this four-game slide, zero touchdowns to eight interceptions, it does warrant the question. Ooh. Joe, if the Panthers were playing the way they are in the last month plus the entirety of the year, they might actually be in the running in the NFC South. But of course, it wasn't a great start to the year for Bryce Young in his young NFL career. But you have to feel for the guy, and you have to love what you are seeing. And you must commend what he has done in his resolve. The Panthers yesterday, so close to pulling off the biggest upset of the year in the NFL in Philadelphia. The Eagles do survive and win 22-16 to win their ninth consecutive, and that's what will show up in the win-loss column. The Panthers do cover as a 13.5-point underdog. Philly victorious 22-16, Joe, narrowly escaping at the end. In a ball to Xavier Leggett, that he looked like he had a chance to make a play and roll into the end zone, just could not come up with the catch. But Bryce Young making play after play, giving the Eagles a test perhaps they didn't see coming.
Yeah, you talk about that drop pass by Leggett. Let me just say this. He cost me money on that because I had two-plus touchdowns with Bryce Young parlayed with Justin Jefferson 100-plus yards. And you wouldn't believe that value. Stone hands and cinder blocks can't catch the football. Wide arm. Now, let's call it what it is. He suffered with drops. He didn't do that in terms of South Carolina. You're not playing Kentucky anymore. You're playing the best defense potentially in the NFC. You got to catch the ball, man. I mean, if you're a wide receiver and you can't catch, move to offensive line. I don't need you. Move to edge rusher. You have to catch that football. Bryce Young. Good at times, bad at times in terms of that game. He took a late sack. I didn't like that. But he's breaking contain, keeping his eyes downfield, and that's the development that you want to see, not just for this year, but moving forward, solidified himself now as a starter in 2025. On the flip side, hey, I'm not going to bash the Philadelphia Eagles for just playing down to the Carolina Panthers. They're coming off an emotional win in terms of Baltimore. That was a game that they had won. They had won basically seven straight heading into last week. They win that eight straight. So they win but don't cover. It is what it is. It happens in the National Football League. The fact that they actually got the W is the most important factor yesterday.
And let's give Xavier Leggett some credit. He has had a great season there.
Stonehands.
You
Come
can hate
on.
It. He should have made a play. You know he should have, but he has had a great season. Carolina.
What about the one against Kansas City? That cost them the game, too. Are we forgetting that?
For the most part, he has had a good season, although he has spurned Joe Lisi, it seems, a time or two. The Panthers have covered in five straight games, been an underdog in every single game since the start of Bryce Young's rookie year in 2023. They were 5-18-2 against the number before Bryce Young returned as the starting quarterback. Now 10-18-2 ATS. Not a lot of offense yesterday out of Philadelphia. Only 108 passing yards for Jalen Hurts, but two scores, another rushing touchdown. Saquon Barkley, Joe, continues to be historic. 20 carries, 124 yards. Now the Eagles' all-time single-season rushing leader, and he is on pace, if they need him through 18 weeks, to catch Eric Dickerson, who set the NFL single-season rushing yard record back in 1984, 2,105. Lisa Guy, elsewhere in the Commonwealth yesterday, the Steelers get some revenge against the Browns. They win 27-14, erasing that bad defeat on the road. Short week Thursday in snowy Cleveland a couple of weeks back. Pittsburgh 27-14, the victory. The Steelers, Joe, have won six of the seven games that Russell Wilson has started. 10 wins now for Pittsburgh this season, a cover in all 10 victories.
Yeah, again, that was a game I liked the Browns in a rematch, even though they went on the road. But I did feel the game would trend to the under, especially when you had almost 900 yards of passing offense out of both quarterbacks. I thought that the total itself was 43.5. Thought it should be more like 46 or 47 heading into that matchup. But the Steelers got back to basics, running the football, staying in manageable situations, forcing the game in terms of Jameis Winston, forcing them to methodically work down the field, no chunk plays, and that's the MO to potentially not only them winning the division, but more importantly, making a deeper run to potentially challenge the Bills in Kansas City in terms of the AFC.
The Steelers are going to go to the postseason. They are a favorite now to win the AFC North. Pittsburgh, a huge matchup in Philly on Sunday afternoon against the Eagles. The Birds currently in early 4.5-point favorite. So Pittsburgh, 18 consecutive years under Mike Tomlin without a losing record. Not the story in New York. The Jets, 9 straight seasons with a losing record. And after an overtime loss, despite a good effort yesterday in South Florida against the Dolphins, make it 14 straight seasons, Leesy Guy. The Jets will miss out on the playoffs, the longest active drought of any team in any of the 4 major men's professional sports leagues in North America, not just the NFL, MLB, NBA, and the NHL included. What a game it was. The Dolphins rally at the end to force overtime. And then in OT, 8-play, 70-yard touchdown drive, ending with a 10-yard toss to Jonnu Smith, who was huge in OT. Dolphins got the ball first, scored a touchdown. Miami wins a game they had to have, 32-26 in OT. Comes oh so close to covering as a 6.5-point home favorite.
Yeah, I mean, that was a great game. I mean, in terms of the old school Jet-Dolphin rivalries, right? We talk about rivalries in college football. You don't really see them in terms of the NFL as much anymore. But that was one of the old, you know, matchups. I think back to when I was a kid with Dan Marino. So that's what you wanted to see, too, in this offense stepping up. Mike McDaniel, yeah. I if Mike McDaniel blows that game yesterday, and I would have been all over him, number one. And I think I would have had every right to do so. There was a part of me that was saying, could they blow it? Could they blow it? I don't think we're not going anywhere with McDaniel.
Listen, the Dolphins got a big win. They have won 3 of their last 4. They're 6-7. There is still some hope for a playoff run. We shall see. We round out week 14 next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Let's round out the Week 14 Sunday slate. Some quick thoughts on Monday Night Football tonight in Dallas. And then, of course, we get to the college football playoff. Lisi Guy, 2 games yesterday with teams that more than likely will not be in the playoffs did play out that eliminated some. For instance, in the AFC South, Jacksonville, already eliminated from playoff contention, wins outright in Nashville against the Titans to thus eliminate Tennessee from playoff consideration. Both teams now 3-10. The Jags win outright in an ugly game that we kind of anticipated as a 3.5-point dog, 10-6 over Tennessee.
Yeah, I mean, Tennessee has major issues as a whole, but, you know, the Jags have played for Peterson. Even when there were rumors about him being fired after the games in London, they've stepped up and covered, and we saw it yet again with Mac Jones pulling that game out, right? So it is nuts. I mean, big picture, it all hinges on the health of Trevor Lawrence. You know, they've had a multitude of wide receiver injuries, and Gabe Davis, Christian Kirk. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. I mean, the one bright spot for the offense next year is Brian Thomas, a speedster out of LSU, and the rushing attack. You know, if ETN is there, we'll see. But Tank Bigsby is the go-to guy next year. It's a building performance. But more importantly, Ben, when I look at the losers with Tennessee, you know, we talk about Bryce Young with the second reset. Where are they going? Is Will Levis the guy? Because we've had high highs, low lows. They definitely don't have the same feeling about Will Levis as they do in Bryce Young with Carolina.
Joe, I actually would say that a performance like yesterday is almost more damning for Will Levis than when he makes ridiculous turnover-worthy plays time and again. He didn't turn the football over yesterday, no picks, did not lose a fumble, although he did fumble at one point. 19 of 32 for 168 yards. His running back in Tony Pollard had more than 100, and yet the Titans score 6 points against a Jacksonville defense that was the worst passing defense in the National Football League entering. Will Levis ain't got it. Not to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. The Titans, Joe, 10 losses this year, not a single cover in any of the 10. Jacksonville, like you mentioned, that it seemed as though the writing is on the wall for Doug Peterson. Offseason changes upcoming, perhaps. They've covered in 6 of their last 7. So shout out to the Jags for still playing. Back in the Garden State, the pride of Bergen Catholic High School in New Jersey, Darren Rizzi, the interim head coach of the New Orleans Saints, wins his third game in 4 tries. And he was the special teams coordinator in the Big Easy. That special teams coming through at the end. New Orleans wins 14-11 against the Giants in MetLife. The G-men do cover as a 5.5-point home underdog. Total of 41 and a hook stays under, Joe. The Giants drove down the field. Drew Locke set up Graham Gano for a 35-yard field goal in the final 10 seconds of regulation. Brian Brisee leaps over the line, lands on his 2 feet, jumps again, gets the big mitt on it to block the game-winning field goal try. Brian Brisee, the defensive tackle, making a play like that, Lisi guy. Somebody here, not me, was trying to fade the Rizzler on Sunday. You can't stop the pride of New Jersey, Darren Rizzi.
Well, the pride, yes, absolutely. Played at Bergen. The pride of Bergen Catholic, though, is Brian Cushing, the former star All-American. Darren Rizzi, he stepped up. Well, let me just say this. How gutless were the New York Giants and Brian Daboll? Yeah, you go down to the 10, 15-yard line, 20 seconds left, and you can't convert. Absolutely pathetic. They knock out Derek Carr. The defense gives them the football back with Jake Haener, and you lay an egg yet again. You're 2-11? This team is absolutely pathetic. Outside of Malik Neighbors and Wandale Robinson and maybe Dexter Lawrence, this team has nothing. I mean, it's a complete rebuild for no matter who takes over the organization. I mean, it's pathetic to see the Giants like not win a home game. They have the worst home record, Ben, prior to yesterday. Yeah. It's like 1974. I mean, that's 40-something years. That's crazy. 50 years. That's ridiculous on how gutless they are.
0-7, now 2-5 against the spread, covering yesterday, kind of. I mean, they did, as a 5.5-point home dog. The Saints are not mathematically out of it. They are 5-7, but as you alluded to, Joe, Derek Carr, kind of a dumb play if you ask me, trying to get a first down. We appreciate the toughness and the effort, but leaps into the air, and as he's coming back down to the turf, falls on his left hand. The Saints fear it is a fractured left hand. That's not great for New Orleans by any means. All right, Lisi guy, to round out week 14, Monday night finale in Dallas, Bengals, Cowboys, Cincy, 5.5-point road favorite, total at 49 in the hook. Joe, it's hard to handicap motivation, right? How exactly do you quantify or give a number to it? The Bengals are 4-8. The Cowboys are 5-7. Cincy has lost 3 consecutive games, just gut-wrenching stuff to more than likely end their season despite not mathematically being out of it. The Cowboys have won 2 straight with Cooper Rush. as the starter. What do you make of tonight on a Monday at the Star?
Yeah, again, that loss last week to Pittsburgh, to me, thinks that Cincinnati could be dead and buried just from, you know, winning the game and covering. I'm going to take Dallas because they're playing with a little fire. They've won two straight. They've got their first home win. Now this is another opportunity. And I think C.D. Lamb steps up. I know he's been non-existent for much of the time that Dak has been out, right? But knowing that he's going up against that weak secondary, I think he steps up tonight. Do feel that the game is an under. I'll take the boys. I'll take C.D. 90 to 100 plus. But I look also at Rico Dowdle in the rushing attack tonight.
Yeah, you know, what's interesting, Joe, is Rico Dowdle has been running it really well the last 2 weeks. The Bengals, a bottom 10 rushing defense. It's not the worst area of where they have been. The only good thing for the Bengals, they're better on the road this year. They're 5-1 against the spread. They're a perfect 3-0 ATS, and of course then straight up, booked as a road favorite. And they've beat up on bad teams. Double-digit win against Carolina. Double-digit win against the New York Giants. Winning by a touchdown against the Browns, I think before Jameis was starting. You know, I don't know. I think we might actually see some points. Let the guys loose. Let Joe Burrow throw. Let Cooper Rush fill up the stat sheet. College football playoff reactions come your way next on FFC.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle. We move now from the National Football League to Selection Sunday in CFB. Following conference championship weekend, the college football playoff field and bracket for the first time ever in the 12-team era unveiled yesterday. And Lisi Guy, here are the teams that made it into the bracket and where they are in terms of seed line. The four conference champs that earned the opening round bye: number one, Oregon, undefeated champs of the Big Ten. Number two, Georgia, who pulled off the slight upset on Saturday in Atlanta over Texas. Number three, Boise State, the champs of the Mountain West title game on Friday night. And number four, Arizona State, handling business in a big way in Arlington in that Big 12 championship game. Those four teams earn that opening round bye. So that means our first round matchups: number five, Texas, will host number 12, Clemson, the ACC champs, who got the better of SMU. So what happened to the Stangs? The 11 seed. On the road to Happy Valley, they will go to take on number six, Penn State. Number seven, Notre Dame in South Bend will host number 10, Indiana, in that in-state showdown. And number eight, Ohio State at the Shoe will play host to number nine, Tennessee. Lisi Guy, what was your immediate reaction to the first ever 12-team bracket in the history of the college football playoff?
No, I'm happy they really helped out and put in SMU. And I mean that wholeheartedly. People have bashed their resume and wanted Alabama in, but this was a team that had one loss, had ripped through the regular season, had made it to a conference championship game, and lost on a last-second field goal. And at the end of the day, it is what it is, but the ACC is deserving of a little bit more love than what they got in recent years from the committee. So I have no problem with SMU playing. What I do have a problem with is how it seems they lined up Penn State to have such an easy road to potentially, you know, a top four ranking or semifinal playoff berth in terms of the bracket. That's what I have a problem with. We'll see how this plays out. I will say this, too. If James Franklin knocks off SMU, is the fan base going to count that as a big game when they're definitely going to be almost a 9.5, 10-point favorite in that matchup?
Yeah, probably, right? It would at least go down as a ranked or top 10 win. SMU number 12 in the AP, number 10 in the college football playoff rankings. Number 10 in the rankings, but 11 in the seed line. Yeah, I understand the format has some bugs and needs to be fixed moving forward. Lisi Guy, the big conversation, if you will. Most was pretty set in stone by the end of conference championship Saturday and even entering the weekend where the rankings were and who would have to move up or down to even have a shot. The only conversation, really, who would earn that last at-large berth? SMU, who lost in the ACC championship game but earned the right to play in a conference title and rallied like crazy in the second half to tie it under a minute, only for Clemson's Nolan Hauser, the Charlotte native, to bury a 56-yard field goal as time expired. What a game it was in Charlotte. Or would it be three-loss Alabama? Ultimately, Joe, like you, the committee made the correct decision. And you are going to hear from people that are not really truly in the know and don't know ball that this is an indictment on strength of schedule. It's not. It has nothing to do with strength of schedule. Alabama, any conference team in the country, does not dictate their own conference schedule that is handed to them often years in advance by the league office. Alabama's conference strength of schedule, or at least their overall strength of schedule within the SEC, 10th out of the 16 teams. What did Alabama in was two losses against teams at 6-6 or worse, to Oklahoma on the road by 3 touchdowns as a 2-touchdown favorite, and to Vanderbilt earlier in the season. Wins matter. They do. Quality of win, it matters a lot. Head-to-head, sure. But the quality and quantity of losses also is significant. And that is what did Alabama in. Not their strength of scheduling, not the idea that no SEC team should ever schedule anybody difficult in the non-conference slate. Alabama didn't. It has nothing to do with what they scheduled. It's what SEC scheduled for the Crimson Tide and the teams they lost to. Point blank.
Yeah, and just like for years, they were benefit of dominating the SEC West, and now with the divisions gone, they had to play some of the top teams in terms of the conference, and the bottom teams caught them. That's the problem. That's the SEC, baby. What can I say?
That it certainly is. We'll have plenty of time to dive through the bracket and the path to a national title throughout these next few weeks. He's Joe Lisi. I'm Ben Stevens. Football Full Circle returns tomorrow, noon Eastern time.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.